All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
If you are here, you are fully present for today's cult meeting. Give me an amen.
Amen.
I told you before. Now, only person who won't die, we no go join cults. Just be walking around on the road. You are this one which we just do like you don't die for that. It's not good. What did I say?
It's not
good. Everybody must join a cult. You must be active. You must be an active member. All right, go for meeting, eat the sacrifices. All right, kill somebody if necessary, the devil. You get my point? The Lord is good. Why we are here is because we know this is the deepest of the cults. Amen?
Amen.
To be a believer is a real one. And it may sound like a joke when I say it, but actually, the word mystery in the Bible, that's what it means. When you talk about the mysteries of God, that's what it's talking about. All right? So we are members of that. We are elite members. Let me put it like that. We have been initiated into this mystery of Christ. And it's open to everybody. All right? We don't kill people because the deepest... Look, sacrifice is no big deal. Those days, they used to do all kinds of sacrifices that they were real. Even human sacrifices had this power. It did. Israel wanted to attack a city. A man sacrificed his son that was supposed to reign after him. Israel had it rough. Even God told them, pull back. Everybody, pull back. Yes. Sometimes I'm trying to understand that thing in depth. But to let you know that it's not a joke. It's not a joke. When God gave human beings, all right, when he gave them animal sacrifices, when he gave it, it wasn't the blood of bulls and goats, the Bible says, could not take away sin. Why God gave it to them was as a foreshadow of what Jesus was going to do. So every man who sacrificed a goat, a ram, all right, according to the faith that God taught them then, they were actually sacrificing the Lord Jesus Christ ahead. So that is why we do what we do. We are partakers of the greatest sacrifice that has ever been made. That's it. The sacrifice that took away all the sins. Said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole earth. That's what we are partaking. That's why we don't get involved. Let me just say it. I know I'm digressing. That's why somebody tell you, come and redeem your firstborn. Tell the person, get away. Which firstborn am I redeeming? What did Jesus die for? And he said, give an offering for the redemption of your family. He said, no, lie, I will not date. He said, give them a sacrifice so that your bondage will be broken. Say it's a lie. Look, the only sacrifices we have now as believers is things that sacrifice of praise. Are you getting my point? Sacrifice of thanksgiving. Then when you see a good work, you participate in it. When they gave to Paul, he said it was like a sweet smelling sacrifice. When they participated in his ministry. That is sacrifice. These are just gratitude things that we do. Why? Because the real sacrifice has been made. What we need now is to just learn how to tap into it, to appropriate it for ourselves. Are you getting my point here? Many of the things we do as people, we don't realize that we are denying what Christ has done. Somebody tell you that, look, your firstborn, come and redeem your firstborn. You are denying that Jesus died for that firstborn. I'm sorry to say it like this. Many of those things are just nothing but money collecting gimmicks. I heard people say that, look, you now bring a sacrifice. Listen, that your money is not the sacrifice that will deliver you. When we Christians give, we give for a number of reasons. One, we are grateful. Two, we are loving people. We want to share. He said, bear one another's burdens. Three, we understand that, look, if the gospel be preached, I can keep on saying, as much as I love for what God is using him to do in a country like Nigeria, a man like Dangote, I will never go to him and say, sir, can you give us $1 million to preach the gospel? It's an insult on that gospel. If I have to go to a man who has not believed to give me money to preach, he should never believe. I am telling him he doesn't have to believe. So who is preaching the gospel? It's you and me. Those who already believe in that gospel. These are the reasons why Christians give. And anybody who is not a giver is a sinner. Yes, it's the word of God. Because you are not like your father. You are walking in sin. Look, giving must be a habit. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
I'm just going to emphasize that, listen, the sacrifice has been made. Somebody say, look, if you give an offering, if it doesn't pay you, it's an offering, it's not a sacrifice. Tell the person it's a lie. Anything I give is a sacrifice, it's an offering, it's everything. He said, David said, I will not give to God, that would just not cost me. That's misinterpretation of scripture. What was David saying? You know, sometimes in church, we say, in churches, we do some things, very funny things. All right, we do some of business in churches. We say something like, okay, everybody take an offering. If you don't have an offering, ask your neighbor. Have you heard that before?
Yes, sir.
That was what David was saying. Why should I be the one giving an offering and you are the one putting in the envelope? I don't know whether you get what I'm not saying. So it's like saying that, okay, I don't have an offering here. Okay, please give me something to put here. I didn't give, you did. So that's what David was saying to that man. That why would I be the one to, why would I be offering a sacrifice and you'll be the one paying for it? He wasn't saying that this thing is paining me as I'm giving it to God. My intestine is just turning. God, it wasn't money I needed for something. Now you're not collecting it too. That was not what David was saying. What he was saying is that when I want to give an offering, it must be my money. You get the concept here? When I'm giving an offering, it must be my money. I cannot give with your money. Are you getting my point? You make a pledge. Say, let's pledge right now. Okay, who will give 10,000? Pastor Kimute will give 10,000, and I'm the one saying it. You are going to say, okay, please, how far? Did we discuss? So I'm pledging on your behalf. No. It doesn't work like that. That was what David was saying. What am I going to say in all of these things? It's not your own effort that's delivering you. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus has already offered the sacrifice. What you now need to do is tap into it. Tap into it by the power of words. I hope you get my point there. So that's why we have incantations once in a while. You must look, turn your Bible into a book of incantations. If I want to talk about that a bit again today, there are incantations you use for certain times. If people gather against you in the office, they say, this place, you won't make any progress. Some people say, oh, my enemies die. That's not the word of God. When you want to talk to those people, you pray for them. Say, God, they are stupid. They are ignorant. They don't know anything. Then when you want to incantate on the matter, you go to Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? That's it. You don't even have to talk. Just read the scripture into the heavens. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. Say, no weapon that is fashioned against me shall prosper. That's all. Say those words. The word can think. We'll talk about it. No, the word thinks. The word knows who to shoot, who to help to repent. If you try to make that judgment, you will disobey Christ. Jesus said, judge not that you may not be judged. Because you don't even know who should be judged. There are people, think about it. If Peter was allowed, to determine who to die, number one person who would die was Paul. After you kill Stephen, you are dead. Church, let's join our hands. That guy who's raging against the church, join your hands. What's his name again? Saul. Alright. Call him. Somebody spell his name. We cast him down. Saul, we speak to you. Die. As man is going on the road. What's that? Those things work. People will die. Whatever you shall bind on earth. Those guys bound that man. What freed Saul so that he might serve you and I today was that Stephen looked and said, Lord, have mercy on him. That's why you have to be very careful. You don't know who God wants to slaughter. You don't know who wants to... are you getting my point? So what you do is that you leave the Holy Spirit to make the distinction. So how do? You just release the word. No weapon that is fashioned against me shall prosper. That word can think. That word knows who to kill, who to live alive. That's how we handle it. Let's look. I'm already getting ahead of myself. It's a good day today, man. All right, let's declare the word of God as we start to study today. One, two, go. Declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The word will heal you again today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Everything that you ate that was going to disturb your stomach, turn to, doctors say that this one is carcinogenic. Whatever it is that you have eaten, it is healed out of your body now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every pain that was planning to start, we discontinue it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As the word is coming into your ears, into your heart, From there, it is radiating into every part of your body, giving strength to your bones in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's discarding malaria out of your blood.
Amen.
Look, let nobody lie to you, say you have staphylococcus. Number one, that is medically stupid and it's spiritually wrong. Amen? You hear that noise around? I just feel like telling somebody. He said, the reason why you're having back pain is staphylococcus. Medically, it's arrant rubbish. You know, it's so annoying. If you want to say it's Ogbanje spirit, I understand. Are you getting my point? I may disagree with you, but at least it makes sense in that realm. When I ask, give me the name staphylococcus, those of us who know staphylococcus, we get angry. It doesn't cause back pain. It doesn't make you strain in the toilet. Doesn't disturb your sleep. Are you getting my point? If Alaji Water is telling staphylococcus the treatment, don't mind him. He's a native doctor. Forget that suit. The man is a native doctor. Okay? You know, people are very funny. They now go and do culture. What they call culture? They say, go and do culture, and they grow staphylococcus. You know why they grow staphylococcus? I can grow it from your nose. I can grow it from your skin. It's everywhere. They have different species and strains of them. Most of them don't really cause, some of them just cause pimples in young boys, young girls, that's all. They don't do much issues. The ones that cause problems, they don't cause back pain. They cause boil, as an example. Like somebody's been having headache, they tell you, come and treat staphylococcus, and they go to church, praise the Lord. The Lord of chosen has delivered me from staphylococcus. It was a testimony I saw. Printed in the Lord of Chosen. I was so embarrassed. I almost jumped under my table. You know, these are my brethren. Are you getting my point? Embarrassing the gospel like this. As if the Lord of Chosen does not know the difference. Anyway, the Lord of Chosen just delivered. You have been delivered. Amen. Fine. Forget that staphylococcus in there. So if you are here today, whether it's staphylococcus or staphylococcus, whatever it is, you are delivered in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I just wanted to give you correct information and then give you the more accurate information. The correct one is that those problems are not caused by that poor organism. They are not. And other things, some people are owing everybody. They don't sleep well at night, they blame staphylococcus. That is staphylo-owing. That's the one that is disturbing you, I'm telling you. Listen, some of these bad dreams, people dream. It's nothing. It's nothing. You say they are chasing me in your dream, in my dream. Why won't they chase you? You are a trader in the market, everybody supply you something. You're supposed to settle them since 3-6 months ago. You haven't settled it today. Even if you were you, wouldn't you chase you in your dream? If it was you, wouldn't you come and chase yourself in the dream? And think about it. Now, see, they're chasing me in my dream. Let me tell you, it's all your creditors that are chasing you in your dream. You say, they came and they showed like this. It's your fear. Are you getting my point? Fear can wear cloth and come into your dream and speak to you, say, I will kill you. Listen, it's not a witch. Why don't these people come to my dream? Have you noticed? They don't worry me in my own dream. They don't know the address of my dream house. You know the truth? We create most of them. Once you have knowledge, they disappear. They dissolve. Let's finish our prayer, Joy. In the name of Jesus, you are delivered.
Amen.
The word is entering you, is healing you entirely in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No matter what it is, no matter the name it goes by, once the word comes, the word has life. The word is life. It's dissolving that affliction entirely in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I say to you again, you are free.
Amen.
From every ancestral problems, you are free.
Amen.
I don't care whether it comes down by genes that are recognized, you are still free.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says he's able to save to the uttermost anyone that will draw near to God by him. No matter what it is, you are saved from it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the midst of afflictions, you are kept.
Amen.
If there's economic trouble, you will survive.
Amen.
You will win.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good.
Awesome.
Let's take our seats. The Lord is good. It's our school of prayer. I want to begin to explain some things again on how to apply the Word of God by looking at it from a particular perspective. I'm titling it the Rod of God. All right? How to use the Rod of God. A few weeks ago, I was meditating and I came to this understanding and I felt like, okay, we should tackle it in our teaching so that people will understand how to handle life. Let me just say something again about what Christianity is. Life has different realms, okay? I've explained that again and again.
And I would like to just use the expression, you know, when Paul talked about different levels of heaven, talked about a man being caught up to the third heavens. What I want to emphasize from there is the fact that there are different levels even in the heavenly realm. So sometimes we misunderstand this. Let's just keep on explaining that so that people will understand. Sometimes you hear spiritual laws. You know, there are all these occultists and all these juju men. You know what I'm saying? There's what they call shamanism. All these shamans, all those kind of people. They actually operate spiritual laws. What people don't understand is that these things come in different realms. All right, they come in different levels. That's what I am trying to emphasize to us as believers. They come in different realms. They come in different levels. The height, the top of the food chain. Are you getting my point? The ultimate height is a realm that is called Christ. That is what happens in Christ. If you ever read some physics, they will tell you that the laws of physics, they fail when they get to the center of the black hole. If you enter a black hole, all the laws just collapse. All right, they disintegrate. In the same manner, when you get to the realm of Christ, many things don't make sense anymore. For example, you start seeing things like, now listen to this, you have to understand this. You say, whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap, right? Which is true, it's not a lie. Those are tangible spiritual laws. But then you go to the realm of Christ, the man sows something and reaps something. It looks initially that it's different. Now, the reason is because what he sows is sowing now is being processed. Are you getting my point? Through Christ. So the man sins, that is what? Sowing. He sows sin and then he reaps, in quotes, life. Ah! Say, what is going on? But what happened, what he didn't see was that when he sowed, alright, when he was sucked into the realm of Christ, the things that he sowed were forgiveness came into it. Are you getting my point? And then he said, okay, what do we do? He has sown something, must reap it. It's okay, let Jesus reap it on his behalf. Are you getting my point? So he sowed sin, Jesus reaped death. And then Jesus sowed righteousness, and this man is reaping life. So it will appear as if the man sowed sin and reaped life. It's not really because the spiritual laws failed. It's because it's been processed through Christ. So those who walk in the realm of Christ, they walk in a different realm. They walk in a different realm. Like I was saying earlier, they are not delivered by their own sacrifices. They are delivered by the sacrifice of another person. And they say, okay, how do you connect with that sacrifice? They say it is simply by your faith. So in Christ, things work differently. And the mistake a lot of people make is that when they learn a little bit of spiritual laws, they want to start applying those laws, but they don't process it through the realm of Christ. And for that reason, you see people emphasizing that if you want to receive, give. If you want to receive, give. Jesus said, no, now. If you want to give, give. If you want to receive, ask. He said, how are we going to handle it? He said, ask in my name. That is, when you want to ask, you ask in the realm of Christ. But Christians often mix the two. They want to say, if you want to receive from God, you can't go empty-handed. It's a lie. It is not true. It's not in alignment with Scripture. You see throughout Scripture, but Jesus made it clear, if you want to receive from the Father, ask in my name. The Father himself loves you. And James now came and explained it. You have not because you sow not. What did he say? Are you getting my point? So, but you see, when Christians don't get it, they not start focusing on, no, give, give, so you can receive. And then the more they give, listen to me, and they focus on what they have given, the less they receive. Why? They will have received more if they asked in the name of Jesus. And listen to this. So what about giving? They now give only as a sign of faith. You get my point? Like I said earlier, I'm not saying Christians, you don't give. I said they give for a different reason. Because faith, lack of faith, prevents the blessing from manifesting. So sometimes God wants to bless somebody. He has asked, said, Lord, please, I need this money to pay I'm going to do postgraduate. I need money for school fees. So God, let's just make it simple. There's a manifestation from the word of God that I have supplied it. Don't worry. So God wants to know whether he really believes it. So at night, you'll be at home, and they will knock, go, please, help, help, help. They rush out to go and help a neighbor. Then I say, the fellow is having a particular attack. We need to buy a drug. How much is the drug? 15,000 naira. Somebody's life is at risk. Are you getting my point? He's looking for what? School fees.
He has prayed to God. Now, listen to what I'm saying here. So God now just gives a small test whether he really believes. And I say, listen, this money I have. Now, look, God has presented a superior need, a more urgent need. What is your postgraduate degree compared to somebody's life? You know what God is just saying? Let me see how you will choose. If the man says, I beg, a bird in hand is worth two in the bush. Please, I beg, neighbors, see this is 500 now. Everybody gather the rest. And God made sure you had the money complete that day. What you have done is to simply deny a miracle. That's all. It is not as if it's that giving that's going to make, but God has already provided. But just say, do you really believe me? Or you are still holding on to what you have? So Paul had to write to them. He said, instruct those, he was writing to Timothy, that are rich not to trust in what they have. They should put their hope in God. And how you prove that is occasionally, God brings to you a need superior, you know, more intense, more urgent than yours, but which your money can handle. You are getting the point? But when you are laying it up bit by bit, 1 naira here, 10 naira here, 5 naira there, 6 naira there, 50 naira there, and you are going towards 2,000, you have a long way to go. So what he does is I say, ask me for the 2,000. You ask. Say, fine. You have received this, amen. You say amen. Fine. Go and relax. And a young child will come one day. I've not eaten since morning, me and my brother, and we don't know where our parents are. Remember, you have just about 15 naira. And to feed the two of them, maybe like 8 naira. God said, let me see what you will do. If you say, you know, I have problems, so all of us get problems. What you have done is to deny. That's why, listen, as a believer, your hand must be like this. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
Free. Loose. Free. Not grabbing anything. Just free. It should be like this. Not like this, really. It should be like this. That is very loose. You know why I want it like this? That when God drops it, you catch it. Well, somebody say, can I have a bit of it? You're not, it's never like this. Okay, take a bit. Take a bit. That's how Christians give. All this, push it in and wind the machine and let it pour it out. It's not Christianity. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
Do you get what I'm going to say here? Listen, we have to learn. Look, it's an important thing we must do to learn how to move in that realm of Christ. What does that mean? So that we know that it's not our own labor. We always have to work so that we know it's not our labor. It's Christ that paid. Are you getting my point? All right, the Lord is good. So I was saying that, so you see, there are different realms, therefore. That realm of Christ, we must learn how to walk in it. Now, I want to explain a principle here, which is a foundation of prayer, one of the foundations. Like I said, I titled the Rod of God. That's the title I gave it, the Rod of God. Let's quickly start from the book of Exodus chapter 4. There are three portions of the Bible I want to read. Exodus chapter 4. Then we are going to read Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah. And then last of all, we read the words of the Lord Jesus when he was teaching how to pray. Exodus chapter 4. I want you to look at something here. Let's start from verse 1. Now here we see the encounter when God called Moses, was commissioning him to go and deliver the people of Israel. From verse 1, then Moses said, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a staff or a rod, depending on the version you are reading. Then he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. All right, let's continue reading, jump a few verses. Now, if you go down to verse 6, I want to just save time. Okay, let's just read it from verse 15. He was talking about Aaron. When Aaron showed up, he said, you are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be your mouth and his mouth, and I will teach you what to do. Now, notice verse 16. Moreover, he shall speak for you to the people, and he will be a mouth for you, and you will be as God to him. He now said, you shall take in your hand this staff or this rod with which you shall perform the signs. Please, I want you to notice that. All right? You shall take this staff or this rod in your hand, and with that you are going to perform signs. Now, quickly, let's read, which one do we read now? Let's quickly go to the book of Jeremiah. I want to read something else there. When God spoke to Jeremiah, we know the story. Jeremiah said, I am too young. I cannot do all of these things. Then God said to him, don't lift up the wrong rod or the wrong staff. Stop saying, I am too young. I'm the one that just adapted that. He said, do not say I am a youth in verse 6. But the Lord said to me, verse 7, do not say I am a youth. Sorry, I mixed that up. The Lord said in verse 7, do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. He said, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. Now please notice that. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms. Remember, I put my words in your mouth. I appointed you over the nations. With my words, this is what you are going to do. You are going to pluck up. You are going to break down. You are going to destroy. And you are going to overthrow. With my words also, you will build and you will plant. I hope you are getting my point here. What God did was to put something in his mouth. He now said in verse 11, the word of the Lord came to me saying, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over that rod. Are you getting my point? I'm watching over my word to perform it. What I'm bringing up from there is the fact that I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. With this particular scripture, I'm connecting the staff in the hand, all right, which is the shepherd's rod or shepherd's staff in the hand of Jeremiah. This is the staff essentially that God was given to, in the hands of Moses. This is the staff or rod that God was given to Jeremiah. And he said, with that rod, you are going to pluck up and break down nations and kingdoms. You are going to destroy and overthrow them. And you are going to build and you are going to plant. That is, the man was not going to struggle by his own words, by his own effort, but was just going to use that which God has given him. And when God was commissioning Moses, what he did was to give him a rod to empower the staff that was in his hand. And he said to him, with this one, you are going to do what? Do wonders. With this, you are going to do the signs that I'm commanding you to do. It was crucial. If you read through the scriptures again and again, Moses, anytime he wants to do something, he will lift up the rod of God in his hand. It always did that. Because without it, there was no power. Without it, there was no authority. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say here. So what is that rod for us as believers? And that's why we're reading here. It is the word of God. He said to Jeremiah, I've placed my words in your mouth. He said, now I have appointed you to go and do this assignment. You are not going to do it with your own strength. Just take the rod like Moses lifted up that rod. Every time he needed to do a miracle, every time he needed to work a sign, you too will take the appropriate word that I have given you for each season, and you will lift it up against every situation, and you will use that rod to perform the sign in that situation. I hope what I'm saying is clear.
Yes,
it's not about your own personal effort. You will remember when Moses, when Joshua and co went to fight in, I think it was in Ai. Was it in Ai or Amalek? What's Amalek now? Okay, you remember that Moses was there, all right, and lifted up his hand. Now, we usually think of the hands of Moses. That's what we think about. But we don't remember why his hands were up. The hands were up because he had to lift up the rod. I hope you're getting what I'm going to say here. It was very important, okay? Let's just read this, okay? Because this is in the record things. Yes, Exodus chapter 17. From verse 8. Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Now notice what he said. Tomorrow I will station myself where? On the top of the hill with what? With what? Some say the rod of God, depending on your version, or the staff of God in my hand. Are you noticing that?
Yes,
we often overlook that. We talked about the fact that his hands were raised. But the man said, I am going there to lift up the rod of God in my hand. You are getting the point. He said, Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. Was it his hand or the rod, really? No, answer me warmly. It was the rod. Because he said with his own mouth, I will go up to the top of the mountain with the rod of God in my hand. So when the hand went down, it was the rod that came down. You are getting the point here. All right? And then when the... let's go back there. Verse 12. Or verse 11. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady, with the rod of God, I'm amplifying it now, in his hands, until the sun set. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now, I want you to understand what I'm trying to bring out here. It is what we lift up that determines our victory. It is not the effort we put in. I hope you're getting my point. It is what we lift up that determines our victory. It's not the effort we put in. Human beings usually, this is how Christians, unfortunately, who are supposed to be walking in the realm of Christ, this is how they behave. It's very unfortunate, you know. Solomon said, it's an evil I've seen under the sun. You see Christians talking like Muslims and Muslims getting results that Christians are supposed to get. That's what Solomon said he saw. You see servants riding on horses and princes, you know, struggling on the earth. They're the ones that are supposed to be riding on horses. This is what they do. We often put in a lot of physical effort while our rods are down. So Joshua, which is our effort, that is our outward manifestation of, you know, effort. So, because Joshua was a man that went to battle. He was the one that was physically fighting. But you see, the victory was not dependent on the strength or the techniques of Joshua. It was dependent upon the position of the rod in the hands of Moses. Even when Joshua himself had to fight against Ai, he also learned that technique. He said, listen, boys, go and fight. Then he went behind and stretched his javelin. He had learned it from Moses. That I could go to the battle and say, we need as many generals as possible. And nobody is there lifting up the rod. So what did he do? He took his javelin, he stood some distance away, and just lifted it up and pointed it. And as long as that hand was up also, they prevailed. I hope you're getting my point here. So what we often do is that we put in a lot of energy. We wake up by 6 a.m. That's 6 a.m. Yeah. By that time, it's already noonday. I mean, we wake up by 4:30. We are up, getting ready, planning the day, because we read a book on how to strategically organize your day. 17 habits of effective people. They know the goal for the day. They set each goal. So by 8 o'clock, I will have seen 6 clients. By 9, they will have answered me. By 10, I will have made my... You know, you will strategize and plot it very well. And we go out in the morning and we move, and move like that till night and come back home. If you get results like that, you won't live longer. That's not a curse, so that's a warning. You know why? One, you are not likely to succeed like that, number one. But let's assume you, in fact, may you fail. You know why? Because if you fail, you will learn. If it works, you are in trouble. You will get hooked and addicted to it. You are converting your human, the soul energy that God gave you for survival, all right, to use to seek Him. You are converting it to success. Then one day it will deplete. They say you are 52. You have heart failure. You have a stroke at the age of 52. And you are wondering what happened. What happened was that Joshua was walking. There was no Moses on the mountain with the rod of God in his hand. Do you get my point? For us as believers, success doesn't come from that amount of outward thing. No. The primary thing we do is to lift up the rod. When Christians behave like that, in God's mercy, they normally fail. They will struggle, they will collapse. That was what happened to Israel. Every time they had a good strategy for going to battle, they failed. But when they bothered to seek the face of God before going, they succeeded. In this particular situation, you see, Moses went up there and kept the rod. It's the position of the rod that determines your victory in life. Like I said earlier, it's what is lifted up. What is the rod for us? The rod is the word of God. What is Joshua going to battle in Amalek? It's our struggle, our everyday hustle, the effort we put in. I've told you as a believer, business books are good, but that's not the foundation. If you see the strategy that the word, listen, if you're using the same strategy as everybody else outside, be very, very careful. See, something is wrong. Once in a while in your life, you have to do something foolish. And when I say foolish, it's not just I just wake up in the morning, let me do what is foolish today. No, you will reason, come to a conclusion based on scripture and prayer, and decide that this is what I am going to do. Then that thing, people now say is very foolish, then you know you are close to salvation. If you make a decision after you have prayed and studied the word of God and maybe heard sound Christian counsel, you now make a decision. And that decision, people now tell you, those who don't understand the same faith, who don't understand the word of God, now tell you it's foolish. Just know you are close to salvation. If your reasoning is foolish to you, believe me, it's foolish. That is, if you are trying to do something and it looks foolish, you say, I'm doing it by faith. I know it's foolish. It's not faith, it's foolishness. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Let me say it again. If you want to do something, and to you it looks foolish, and then somebody says, it's because you're walking by faith. He said, this is foolish. You know the truth? It is indeed foolish. It's not faith. It's foolishness. He said, when is it faith? This one, it is faith. When you reason with God's word, and the understanding of the word of God, all right, tells you this is what to do. It's not that the Holy Spirit said to you, which is the problem a lot of Christians have. They say, it was Holy Spirit that told me. Most of the time, Holy Spirit was not even around. You understand my point? No, really, we have to get that thing right. When you talk about that Holy Spirit, it is that the Spirit of Christ working in you gave you understanding. And based upon the understanding of divine precepts, you came to a conclusion. And that is the Spirit of God leading you. Now, you do that, you come to that conclusion, and people say it is foolish. To you, it makes sense, but it only makes sense because you deduce with God's word. Let me give you a very simple example. One of our brothers, I've told this story many times, he went to apply in Luth to work, where I used to work, and I know people there. So I told him, when you were going, why didn't you tell me? Now, this is what normal people would do. You apply, and you start saying, who do you know? Because it's highly competitive. Who do you know? Who can speak for me? You do all of that. And listen, really, it's not as if it's an evil thing. Okay? In fact, when he told me, the first thing I said was that, you went to apply in Luth? He said, yes. I said, why didn't you tell me? Now, that's how I'm going. The normal human thing is that, let's see who we know. You know the answer he gave me? He didn't forget that I knew people there. He was someone that's close to me. He knew I could make one or two phone calls for him. But he told me to my face, you taught us that we don't need to know anybody to get what we need to get in life. I said, okay. I apologize. I'm sorry. Now, see the reasoning. Assuming now, as an example, this is a mistake a lot of people make. Assuming he didn't get the job. You know what many people will say? He should have. Are you getting my point? But that's not true. That would have just meant that was not what God wanted to give him. He says simply, no. In fact, what he told me that you taught us, you. He didn't say it like that. Are you getting my point? But the emphasis that he pointed out to me that what I taught is that it's not necessary. That it's unnecessary. What does that tell you? It means he came to his conclusion based upon understanding of the word of God. To the average person, it's foolish, right? But to him, it's wisdom, it's faith. No matter the argument you want to give, You can give 10 different stories, but there was one thing he said, if God is with me, their defenses have departed from them. Are you getting my point? Which was what Joshua and Caleb said. Okay, that's a very good one. When you find Joshua, Caleb, untrained men coming out of Egypt, they want to go and fight giants in their own land. It's very stupid. What you should do is to go in, strategize, plot, see how you poison the giants and no stuff like that. They didn't do that. Joshua said, let us go at once. Caleb said, that's my opinion too. We will go up at once. They said, but the people are bigger than us. They didn't say they are not bigger. That's what some of the people don't know about faith. Faith understands what is physically real.
Yeah.
But it has another information which most people don't have. So Joshua and Caleb said, yes, they are bigger. We are like grasshoppers in their eyes. That's just the way it is. He said, however, if our God is with us, that's added information. So you see, with Joshua and Caleb, let us go at once was reasonable. Why? Our God is with us. For the other people, they did not put in that information of our God being with us. Please, I hope you are getting my point. The same thing with David. When David went after Goliath, it was not as if he said, we never can tell you, let's just see. David said, listen, it's not the first time. One, these are my principles. This is an uncircumcised Philistine. We are of the army of the living God. Two, I've tried this my theory before. When an uncircumcised bear came after me, are you getting my point? I went after it. When a lion did the same principle, he said, this one will be, now listen to me, to David, this was reasonable. He couldn't understand what your problem was if you couldn't see it. It was everybody else that thought it was foolish. Are you getting my point? If your decisions are foolish to you, they are foolishness. For the person walking by faith, his reasoning to him is reasonable. It's very reasonable to him, the decision he's making. Why? Because spiritual things are real to him. The help of God is real to him. But the people that are saying this man is being foolish, they don't see those things as real. They see it as religion. He said, forget that and let's be practical. Forget church now. This is real life. That this church is not real life. Faith is not real life. This is one thing we do on Sunday so that we look like nice guys. You know, if you don't go to church now, no girl will marry you. You know people do things like that?
Yes.
Many women go to church only because it must not be heard. A man wants to marry. I say, which church does she go? She doesn't have a church to give. They say, this girl is wicked. So many people, for them, that's what church is about. It's just a way of boosting our social standing. So when we want to think, we have to get really practical. Can God help? Forget that thing. Heaven helps only those who help themselves. All right? Let's just get me. Are you getting the point I'm making?
Yes, sir.
Listen, if any man is walking by faith, if a woman is walking by faith, the decisions he or she is making, they are reasonable to her. And when you have made such decisions, and everybody says you are foolish, believe me, you are close to salvation. In your life, somebody must laugh at you one day. If they don't laugh at you, you will not succeed. I'm not kidding. Somebody must feel sorry for you. Say, I just feel sorry for you. When people are feeling sorry for you, because of faith, believe me, you will do well in this life.
Amen.
You know why? There's a prayer that has been activated. Let not my enemies triumph over me. I told you, all the prayers of Jesus, of David, they are prophetic prayers of Jesus. Jesus prayed it. The Father answered him. Are you getting my point? And then he gave the answer to you as a gift. Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
So if you see any prayer, especially in the book of Psalms, it's been answered. It has been answered. When he said, let me not be ashamed. Let them not say, aha, aha, where is his God? These are prayers that Jesus has already prayed and the Father has heard. So when you are laughed at, you've activated that one in your direction. Say, Baba God, see, they laughed. Said, that laughter must come to an end. No, really, I'm very serious about that. That's how spiritual things work. That will say, all my enemies die. You will not succeed in life if all your enemies die. Because there's a prayer. He prepares the table before me. in the presence of my enemies. If they're all dead, that's your table will never complete. The carpenter won't finish the table. No, that's life. So when people don't like you, rejoice. Say, good. My table is moving. Somebody look at you with envy. Say, good. That guy is helping me build my table. He said, but you get any other friend who won't join you? Because the more you guys are, the bigger my table is. Why? It's a prophetic word. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Please, I hope you're following the point I'm making. Now, so what's the point we're making? No, I digress into that, trying to explain something that occasionally in your life, all right, you will do something foolish. So I want to explain what that foolishness means. So I wasn't saying that just wake up in the morning and be irrational. That's not what I mean. I mean faith will provoke you to make decisions that average people would think, all right, is unreasonable, all right, or are unreasonable. Now, but I was saying earlier, so you find that Joshua, all right, went, he did something odd. Instead of saying that we need many more generals in the battle, he took a step away, and at that point, he wasn't giving commands. All he was doing was just lifting up a rod, all right, which was his own javelin, and pointing it in the direction of the battle. That was all he was doing. Lifting up a rod, pointing it in the direction of the battle, instead of being physically involved. The reason is because except the rod is lifted, the outward effort is nothing. Are you getting my point? Except a rod is lifted in your back, all right? Except a rod, somebody's on the mountain lifting up that rod, all the outward efforts are nothing. You become unlucky. When things should work out well, suddenly they will not work. And some people, of course, the way the common man interprets it that somebody does not want me to succeed. Let me tell you the truth, it's not a revelation. Every day of your life, somebody doesn't want you to succeed. So don't let me, like, the fact that you failed, you think everybody wants that I'm going to build a refinery. You think everybody likes the fact that I'm preaching here? Somebody sent me a mail the other day. He said, this is your message. They will not invite you to come to many places. You will spoil business. It's true. This was a mail we read just last week. He said, God bless you, Saul. The Lord will help. I mean, with prayer. And he said, but let me just warn you. You're not going to many big places. Though. Because the way you talk, you will close shop for people. You are getting my point. So if somebody doesn't want you to succeed, it's not news. Every day the devil wants you to fail. He wants you to die. You know why you have not died? He has not succeeded. So it's not a revelation that some people don't want me to succeed. I've heard people say that pastors prophesy to them that many people will be envious of this your success. I say, well, it's not a revelation. That guy is a practicing prophet. Are you getting my point? He's still learning. Now, if you want to learn to prophesy, that's how you do it though. No, that's how you do it now. You just say, okay, there was one. Somebody sent us a picture the other day. He said, send this. He said, today is Sunday. Send it to everybody in your contact. You will get another Sunday within 7 days. He said, if you don't send this, one of my friends ignored to send it. Within 24 hours, he got it Monday. The day I got it, I couldn't download the picture because where we were in Makurdi, the internet was very poor. So it was on Monday when we left Makurdi, I was able to download it. And I sent my friend, I said, oh, God, I didn't see this on time. Now I got it Monday within 24 hours. Yeah, that's how to practice how to prophesy. You come to somebody and say, I want you to know, somebody doesn't want you to succeed. They don't want you to succeed. Come here. In the name of Jesus, be free. That's practicing prophecy because there's nothing you have said that is special. Someone got on TV was there, said, come, your uncle. He said, you have many men in your family. There are women there too. How can there be men in the family and there won't be women? Come, they will have told you that, your mother, you have a mother, right? Yes. And you said, he's not. Who does he have a mother? Did I drop from heaven? You are laughing at this, but that is the same thing when they tell you that there are people who don't want you to succeed. It's a normal thing. And Jesus said it ahead of time. So these Pharisees, they don't want me to succeed. These Sadducees, they don't want me to succeed. He said, if they don't want me to succeed, they also will not want you to succeed. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I hope you're getting my point here. Sometimes when people are not lifting up their rod and things don't work out well, they start blaming people. Please forget all of these things. That's what I'm trying to emphasize to believers. You cannot afford to be looking for who to blame. The reason why they can overcome you is because you have a personal problem between you and your God, not because they are strong. The Lord is good. Please, I'm explaining a particular principle, right? And that's the fact that how did these people succeed? It was simply because what? There was a rod of God that was lifted up. What is that rod for us as believers? We're saying it earlier. We read from Jeremiah. Jeremiah was told simply, I say a rod, he said, of an almond tree. And before that, God had said to him, I have put my words in your mouth. And God now showed him a rod, all right? And said that if you utter a word, I will act quickly upon it to perform it. All right, that was exactly what God was telling him. But when he used the expression, the rod of an almond tree, from that, I'm able to deduce that what God was saying is that as Moses was lifting up a rod, you will lift up the words that I put in your mouth. Because he said to Jeremiah, see, I have put my words in your mouth today. All right, now listen to this. There is an appropriate word for every challenge in life. The problem is that we don't lift it up persistently. That's what I want to emphasize. We don't lift it up persistently. As I made a statement earlier that, listen, there's really nothing in life you are going through that Jesus has not prayed about. And there's really nothing in life you are going through that has not received an answer for. And that answer is encapsulated in the Word of God. And what is the duty we have as believers? Lift it up. Now, there's another thing. Let me just read another scripture. When we were going to cross the Red Sea, you will see something that Moses did. In Exodus chapter 14, Moses says something. Oh no, the Lord says something to Moses in response to a prayer that Moses was praying. If you read from, let's just read from verse 10. As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked. Now, please, to save time, you know I do that once in a while. I'll just jump over some lines so that we can quickly get things in context and yet get to the very place where we want. As Moses drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. And of course, typical of them, they began to whine and complain. Now, let's go down to verse 13. But Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians which you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord, he said, will fight for you while you keep silent. That was what Moses said. But what did God say? Verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, what did he say? Read it out loud. Now, notice, I want that first expression, that first phrase. The Lord said to Moses, what?
Why are you crying to me?
Oh, so who else will cry to now? What was he supposed to do? No, think about it. We have a problem. Everybody gather for prayer meeting. Say to God, today, you will answer us. Everybody begin to pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, see the problem in this country. Today, you will answer us. That's the normal, that's what's going on. We know you are the God of miracles. Today, you are going to do something special. That was exactly what Moses said. And the Lord said, what is going on here? Why are you crying out to me? What does that tell you? This is not time for crying out. And when God makes a statement like that, what it means is simple. I have already answered this matter before. Why are you bringing it up again? Because that was what he said to him. He said, tell the sons of Israel to go forward. As for you, verse 16, what did he say? Lift up your rod or lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. Did he say how the Lord handled it? He didn't say to him, stretch out your hand, then I will divide the sea. He said, listen, I have packed enough power inside that rod. If you stretch it over that sea, it will divide. So what is this prayer about? Please, I hope you are getting my point. Listen, many prayers we pray, God says, no, now. It's not necessary. There is a word I have given for that situation. Don't talk to me. I don't want to hear anybody. Don't even use praise to bribe me. You know there's bribery praise. Let's praise him until his head will swell enough, and then suddenly we want to do something. Praise is good, but that one is bribery. It doesn't work like that. If you want to praise God, praise him out of the fact that you realize he should be praised. Praise him because you understand that indeed he's worthy to be praised, and his power is already working in your life. Not let's just praise God. Praise him some more. If you praise him enough now, he'll just be happy. You'll be happy. Right now, he's sad. Heaven is gloomy. You get what I'm saying? God said to Moses, don't cry through any technique. I don't want any bribery praise. I don't want any trick of worship. Do what? Lift up your hand over the sea. Take the rod and divide it. And we have established what it is. Listen, I said something earlier at the beginning, and I've said it many times over the last few weeks, that God's word thinks so. This is how many of us want to pray. Father, this Red Sea will part. There shall be a breeze, and the breeze shall blow overnight. And it shall come this way, that the what? No. Those details are unnecessary. You need money, you don't have to say, God, in the name of Jesus, somebody will visit me right now and give me money. That's what I call unnecessary details. Is it not need for money you have? And what if God removes the need? Has it not been solved? I remember the story of two people I read about. An old man and his wife. They were living in the house. And the owner of the house died. So the son decided to eject them so he could increase his rent. This was in America. And there are two Christians and they decided to pray. And when they finished praying, you know how God answered the prayer? He brought the agent in charge to come and inspect the house while they were praying. So then the man got to the house. He wanted to knock, but decided not to knock. So he moved around the house and overheard their prayer. And when he heard the sincerity of their prayer, he told the landlord, the young landlord now, that I'm sorry, I can't eject those people. Go and do it yourself. That one said, why not? He told the man what he heard. So that one scratched his head. And said, oh boy, this thing you are doing is not good. Stop going around people's houses, listening to their prayers. This really happened from the story I read. Because they were old people, all right? The agent had said that he was going next day to go and visit them and was planning to buy them what Americans call groceries, you know, food stuff and stuff like that, a lot of supplies. So the man said, anyway, while you are going, give him $100, buy some more things for them, and please avoid going around people's houses listening to their prayers. He said, when you get there, tell them that somebody came, paid off their rent, and said they can stay in that house till they both die. So God supplies needs different ways. He didn't send them $1. They prayed today. Next day, the man came and greeted very nicely. He said, oh, an anonymous person came. And he didn't say it was a landlord. And said, well, since you guys like this house, he paid the rent. And he said, all the days of your life, you can stay here. And meanwhile, I brought you some stuff. One of my friends gave me $100 to buy you stuff. Loaded the house full. Did God send him a cover? No. I told him when I was planning to get married, that was what happened. At the point in time, my wife and I calculated all the amount of money I needed. So of course, 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17 was activated in my life around that period. I believed God for supernatural supplies. He didn't bring cash, he brought wisdom. I solved my problem with a sheet of paper worth about 2 naira. And I thought I needed then 200,000. Not now. That was 1999. 17 years ago, in a few months' time. So that's why I'm not into this prophesy specifically what you want God to do. There are so many things God can do. There's no point being specific. My own doctrine that is very different from what most people preach and call faith. I've related with God long enough to know he does things different ways. He does things different ways. That's why I told the story of the couple that needed a house and they went to the Lord and prayed. And the Lord didn't give them money, which was what they needed to pay the rent. The Lord just said, don't worry, you go and overhear what you're about to do that is evil. When that one heard it, he said, Lila, I cannot eject these people. The landlord too heard it and said, they are not ejectable. He will have been getting his small, you see, it's not good to have too much long throat. He will have been getting his small rent. Yeah. But he wanted more. God took everything from him and gave it to those people. They now had more money to live on for the rest of their lives. Why? They were not paying rent anymore. God supplies needs different ways. You may think you need money. God says what you need is wisdom. In fact, for most believers, that is one thing. I'm about to digress. I'll get back to my message in a moment. I'm going to teach this thing later on. We are going to talk about money, prosperity, and faith. Okay? Because listen, when it comes to money matters, I've thought about it again in recent times. Paul said, be careful for nothing, but with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, it is not your request that God gives you first. What does he give you? The peace of God. That peace of God is a tangible substance. Jesus gives it to people. He said, my peace I give unto you. He told the disciples, when you get into a house, say to this house, peace be unto you. It was not like you just be calm. No, it's a spiritual substance. Paul said it will come and mount guard over your heart. It will remove the confusion that made you think you needed a million naira when all you needed was 10,000. It will remove the fear that's worrying you. That's what I call the peace of God. Because Paul knew that many of the prayer requests of Christians, they are not valid. They are not valid. Many of the prayer requests of believers are not valid. I dare to say, more than half of the amount of money Christians are asking God for, they don't need. And why God is not giving them is that he will be a father spoiling his children if he keeps on answering. They are going to get used to bad things. One of the first things God teaches people of faith is how to manage. Did you hear what I said? One of the first things he teaches is how to manage. Lord, I need a car. God said, you don't need it. The Lord, why don't I need it? I've checked in Enugu. There are about 5,000 keke napeps that can carry only you. Whatever one I need to go to Lagos, there's Autostar. There's God is good. Peace. The Kennedy Luchuku. The Young. ABC. The Lord said, see the number of drivers I kept at your disposal. So God looked at your life and said, I won't give you the car now because you will come back tomorrow asking for more. Meanwhile, you need your brain to be busy doing other things right now. So many of the today, you will bless me today. Because I blessed you yesterday, not even today. Just that you don't know how to understand, how to appreciate life. One of the first things God teaches believers when it comes to money is how to prioritize effectively. And you know some of these things are tests. Yeah. God gives you 10,000 and says, let me see whether you are foolish or you are wise. If you are foolish, this is the result of foolishness. If you are wise, this is the progress of wisdom. So instead of praying, God, I need more money, just say, God, give me wisdom so that I will allocate this 10,000 naira appropriately. Paul said, the peace of God that passes understanding. That's the first thing that God gives you. It is not that answer you thought you were looking for. You said, I need another job. God said, you see, this job is the only place where you will learn the things it takes. All right? To use to handle a business that are running in billions of naira. So stay here. I know they are not paying you well, but stay there. The money is not much, stay there. The money is not much, the lesson is plenty. You will discover 15 years, 20 years, 30 years later. All this I'm using now, this was the place where I learned it that time. This was the place where I learned it. Where somebody was telling you, sow a seed for another job. You can't run your life. That's what I want to teach Christians. I have learned that in recent times. You can't run your life. When it says sufficient unto the day is evil thereof, that is not a joke. You can't run your life. You can't plot, oh my father, you cannot plot what your life is supposed to be like. What will happen is that God gives you a day. You occupy that day. Then at the end of that day, he opens a door. You step into the next day. If you need anything, make your request. God gives you peace. You know what that peace does? The peace helps you decide whether you really need it or you don't. The peace helps you manage what you have now. And really what God is planning for you is far better than what you can imagine for yourself. As a matter of fact. Let's get back into today's message. All right? That's a digression. Now, so what am I trying to say here? I went into that again, trying to explain the fact that the word works, that the word thinks. As I'm trying to explain to people, it thinks. It can plot your life for you. It can give you what you really need when you are making requests for what you think you need, which is just a simple want. What we are supposed to do as believers is to simply lift up the word. I don't believe that you have to be specific. No. I remember one message I listened to long ago. I remember it about 2 days ago, or is it yesterday? That a man said, if you need a new house, you have to tell God, what kind of house do you want? Otherwise, he will give you a dog house and you can't complain. He said, God, I need a new house. He said, what kind of house? You know, when we first listened to those messages those days, we were so impressed because of a new level of thinking. But now I have gone to another level of thinking beyond that. He said, you can ask God for a new house, and if you don't tell him which kind of house, he could give you a dog house and you couldn't complain. A house is a house. That's not Christ level. Yeah. Our God thinks. He has a head. Yes. How will he give me a dog house? Am I a dog? I mean, let's think about it. I know sometimes there's a bit of direction our minds should have, but please, not that kind of depth of specificity. There are companies people are praying to walk in. And God is saying, my boy, you don't understand. It's folding up. I'm folding them up in the next 2 years. There were those who were sowing seeds for Oceanic Bank. Meanwhile, they were closing them in Abuja. They were sowing in the name of Jesus. I open the door in Oceanic. You will receive me into your staff. Hallelujah. Was it you? And woke up one day, there was no Shani Bank again. Eco Bank collected them, laid off most of their staff, absorbed the ones they could, and that's the end. One of the greatest companies in America at that time was called Enron. Enron was the place to be. Enron fell overnight. Today there was Enron, the next day there was no Enron again. The staff, they were so angry when they were leaving, they were carrying furniture home. Office furniture. Because some of them were multi-millionaires the day before. Yes. And you know the way those companies do. They give you what they call, they can pay you in what they call stock options. Alright? Stock options are interesting. For those who don't understand, a stock option is different from a stock itself. Alright? This is what stock option is. Like, a company is starting, assuming the stock is valued at, let's say, $10. Those early days, nobody knows them. You don't have to buy it. It's okay. We'll pay you in stock options. So you have to hold your stock option, which means that if tomorrow the stock value is now $500 a stock, you still buy at $10. Yeah, that's meaning of an option. So so you don't even have to have money now. It's okay, don't worry. Just be working. We'll pay you small, but these are the stock options that are yours. So the $10 today, the day it becomes $500, you will take advantage of your options. You can buy the one that they have agreed upon. You buy it at $10. And turn around and sell at 500. You know, it's an instant millionaire. A lot of them had their money laid up in options. Some of them in real stocks they had bought. And they woke up one day. They were so angry. They were carrying chair to go home. That's how rapidly the company collapsed. You can't plot your life. That's the point I'm making. Right now in Nigeria, there's a lot of shaking. Some people left their businesses to go and take a job in state governments. Ekiti governor was on TV. He said it himself. He said, have you paid salaries? He said, no, I can't pay. He said, I'm only 4 months now. 4 months. The governor. You know that man? He didn't hide it. And it's a good one. One guy, a bit further towards the west, has not paid 9 months. They're not paying. And the guy said, why he can't pay? He said, my wage bill is 2 billion. Last month I got 800 million. He said, why? He said, because my predecessors are owing so much money that they take 1. Something billion from my allocation every month till 2036. Oh, Many people, they will want to go back to where they were selling guguru and ekpa. The moi moi and ekpa they were selling that time. If they are stuck with it. But now they are regretting. You know what I'm going to emphasize? All this of writing detailed prayer points for God, forget it. He can plot your life. He can plot your life. He will open a reasonable door for you at the right time you step into it. Listen, if you walk with God, he will take you to a place that you never imagined. In all the times that Joseph was dreaming, he did not know there was a place called Egypt. He saw the moon and star and 11. What happened? Okay, moon and sun and 11 stars bowing down to him. Where did he think they would bow down? In their own community there. It did not cross his mind that somebody else was building a kingdom that he was going to rule. And that kingdom was being built to preserve all these bowing people. Yeah, you get my point? The sun, the moon, the 11 stars, they're all coming to live in the kingdom somebody else is currently building. If the man had to prophesy and sow his seed, it would be for that land. Like I said, that's a digression. Let's stick with our message. What's our message? What is God supposed to, Moses supposed to do? Exodus chapter 14. God said to Moses, listen, you know, stop shouting to me. I have already solved the problem. I put the solution in that thing that's in your hand. What do you now need to do? Take that rod and lift it over the situation. What is the rod? It's the word of God in your mouth. We read from Jeremiah. God said, I have put my rod in your mouth. Anytime you get into a situation, look for the appropriate word. You don't need to alter it. Lift that word up. That's what prayer is. It's not every time you... In fact, this is what I'm convinced about. Like if it comes to financial need, if I identify a financial need now, no be prayer time. Now, rod lifting time. Is rod lifting time. My rod I discovered from Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12 long ago. He said, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Sometimes I wake up at night and I declare it. If thoughts of financial requirements, needs come to my mind, that is the answer. If I catch myself saying, dear Lord, please help, I stop it, I apologize. Why are you crying out to me? That's what he said. You just lift up the rod. Listen, let me tell you something. If it comes to sickness also, the body is infirm. It is the time to lift up a rod and keep it up there until the sieve completely parts and the whole of health passes through it into your body. Are you getting my point? Last week, I was saying something briefly. It's not crying time. I explained something last time. Let me just review it just for a moment. Don't talk like a victim. Talk like somebody that has been blessed. God, look at my situation. Today, you will do something. Don't talk like that. It doesn't activate the power of God. Talk like somebody who has been answered. That's how God likes it. Talk like somebody who has been blessed. Not to lie down there and say, Lord, this shame is too much. Where are you? What are you going to do? When are you going to answer? And somebody says, fast some more. The more you fast, the weaker you become. You know my own church, you know that's what they do for there. I've told you. I'm in the Jesus Christ church. All this on hunger and punishment for your soul so that God can hear you in January. Better go and eat. You've done it for 6 years. What difference has it made? Practice my own for 1 year and let's see what will happen. People start in January, say they won't eat for 100 days. It's a sign that you have not yet broken through. I'm not joking about it. God hasn't answered you yet. That's why you're hungry for 100 days. The Jesus that died for you, how many days did he fast for? People pray as if, no, look, listen, that's a, don't pray like a victim. Fast from now till tomorrow, God will not hear you more than he has already heard. Listen, you think hunger moves him? unless you're a sinner. And I keep on telling believers who are committing sin, they should do what?
Yes.
They should do what?
Yes.
If you are not sinning, you know, you know, Peter, James, John, Paul, they never fasted the way we do now. They never did. They never, quote me, they never did. What Paul called fasting was money, no day, nothing to eat. So it was a sacrifice of ministry. What I've told is the truth. All this one of going hungry for 7 days because you want God to answer you is foolishness. Those things ended before Jesus, that is, by the time Jesus Christ came, the disciples didn't have time for such things. And then they said, listen, don't pray like a victim. I will not eat until God gives me a job. That's a very, very, very wrong way to tackle it. If there are challenges, lift up a rod. That's what I'm trying to say. What is the rod? It's a word of God that you have discovered. Sometimes, and this is what I believe, this is both from experience and from other people's teachings. There are many things in the scriptures. Do you get my point? Many words. But there is one that God activates for you. And when Jesus was teaching us to pray, you know what he said? Pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. This is the application of it. There is a bread. What is the bread? It's the word of God. He said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. That's God. That's Jesus Christ. All right. Are you getting my point? There is a word that is appropriate for each season of your life. If you are going to, you are about to start a new endeavor, that's when you do real fasting. Are you getting my point? Now listen to how to fast, proper fast. Don't just say a hunger strike. I'm talking about real fast. This is how to do it. You will take time out, take a Bible, take a jotter, take books and tapes, and seclude yourself for a number of hours every day. And say, Lord, this new endeavor of my life, give me this day the bread that will handle it. In fact, the literal Greek is, give us the bread for tomorrow. Go and read it very well. Give us this day the bread for the next season. That's exactly what Jesus said. The bread for tomorrow. That is, I'm stepping into a new season. What word do I go into it with? That was all God said to Jeremiah. I put a word in your mouth. Discover that word and throughout that season, lift up that rod constantly. I told you, those days when I was in Lagos, was when I read that scripture. It said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. That's the word. I hold it. If money is not flowing enough, well, I hold it. And I say, look, whatever I have, it's enough for what God wants me to do for that day. And I hold that word up all the time. No need praying and begging God again. God said, why are you crying out to me? Answers have been packaged in the word. If you don't know the word for that season, that is when you fast and pray. I hope you're getting my point. And the fast is not hunger. Oh my father, how many times will I say this? Some people have been fasting all their life. They don't want to believe me. You know why they don't want to believe me? I'm telling them that the hunger strike of 20 years was a waste of time. Yes, it was a waste of time. What are you going to do about it? You've wasted the time. Stop. You did not build your business or your ministry going hungry. Food does not say God shouldn't hear you. Overeating is bad. This Bible says that people can be weighed down by too much, you know, which is the same thing like you have a season coming, you are going for a party. People will go for a party and say that they say, do you want a drink? No, I'm fasting. You are at the wedding. If you are really fasting, don't come. Once you get to the wedding, please eat something. Listen, the real fast of a believer is so as to tap, it's not to get God to do something he doesn't want to do. It is to get the bread for that season. And once you grab the bread for that season, every day you lift it up. The problem sometimes that people lift up their bread, the rod for one moment. Are you getting my point? And then they stop. It's as if it's not working. But go and check it. How long do you think it took the sea to part? It was a whole night. No, go and read the story. It was a whole night. What God did was to first send a cloud to block the Egyptians from coming closer. And it took the sea one whole night to part. can't check your scriptures. I'm not cooking it up. You think Moses just did like this? Bam! And then, jump! No. When Moses stretched forth his rod, first God brought something down, kept the Egyptians away, and then he mobilized wind. And the wind began to drive hard overnight. It took a whole night for that sea to part. You think the battle against Amalek was 1 hour? The battle was so long, the hands of Moses got tired. So if you think you are going to drop the word of God that you have been declaring, because there's crisis in the country, there's headsman crisis, tomato crisis, fuel crisis, salary crisis. Maybe we'll talk about that again next time. We will not drop that word. We won't. Because it's battle. Go and look, the battle lasted so long, the hands of Moses was tired. They were tired. The man sat down. Both hands, because the rod didn't need two hands to carry. He could have done this and done this. So the man first did this. He did this one. Switched to this one. Carry on like this. This way. God didn't allow you to put him down. He said it must be up. So finally they said, guys, what do we do? The man said, guys, first let me sit down. He sat kind of like this. Ah! As he dropped like this, they go hit one Israelite soldier on the head. Boom! The man will carry it off. That guy's head go correct back. Battle continue. Finally, Aaron and all said, this is what we're going to do. So we're not allowed to. Look, nobody will hold your rod for you. You hold it by yourself. They can hold your hands, but you hold the rod by yourself. They can encourage you, pray with you, but the declaration of the truth of God must come from your mouth. You are the one that will continue to declare to your body, in the name of Jesus, life is working in you. In the name of Jesus, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me, giving life to my mortal body. By the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. You are the one, we can be praying for you and encouraging you. That's lifting up your hands. But your own mouth will carry your rod. It took so long, Moses was tired. Man, I held his hand like this. Okay, Moses, don't worry, it shall soon be over. I don't know how long it was, but it was not 1 hour. I hope you are getting my point. Believers must learn to hold on their rod persistently. Listen, in this life, you have already been set free.
Amen.
It's very important for you to understand that. The challenges you have is not a sign of a curse at all. It's not. Your sea is parting. Yes, it's taking a whole night. But you will keep your rod stretched over that sea. That this sea, you will part. You will keep your rod lifted up. That this battle, Joshua, you will win against Amalek. So every day you are going to walk. I think we discussed it before. Have a set of confessions you have written specifically. A set of confessions written specifically concerning your business. Derived from the word of God, not desire. Please forget that rubbish desire in the name of Jesus. This company is going global. What is that? Is that in the Bible? Arrange 4 or 5 verses. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it won't go global. But something what you call global is you have seen some other companies, you are envying them. What eyes have seen, ears have heard, what has already entered the heart of man is what you are prophesying. Let the word work on, that is your business. There are simple things like, the seed of the righteous will be mighty on the earth. The seed can be your offspring, a child, a human child, but the seed is anything that you birth, including your business, including your ministry, including your career. Are you getting my point? So by your business, you declare it every day. My seed will be mighty on the earth in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, it is written. And you quote that scripture verbatim and say, that is my rod. I lift it over this business. Every day, put something on the wall. That's what you put on the wall. Someone said, draw your international headquarters. I've stopped substance long ago. That's not witchcraft. Listen. I know what I'm telling you. No, we abandoned the things of childhood long ago. Look, in the realm of Christ, you don't draw any nonsense. You draw the word of God. God said it to them. Write it upon your doorpost. Put it upon your forehead. Is God's word. If you have a plan, fine, draw your plan. But this one will focus on the word. Put God's word there. Lie down there. Because the word speaks. The plan of your building can't talk to you. The building plan cannot reason. It has eyes, it can't see. It has concrete foundation, it can't walk. Are you getting my point? It doesn't, the windows don't see. They look like eyes, they don't see. But the word of God is alive and active. That's what you need to put on the wall concerning your business. Look for that word that applies and put it there. Ah, you're a married man, you want your marriage to succeed. You write some things concerning the scripture, from the scriptures. Simple. Two in Christ, we chase 1,000. We chase 10,000. A threefold cord cannot be broken. Whatever God has joined together will not be put asunder. Those are scriptures. That's what you stare out every day. That word will come out, take on flesh. Wear a dangerous garment. So, there are days you will encounter the word of God. You'll be looking so fierce. Even you that spoke it, you will run. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? What do? We lift up that rod persistently. That's how Christians win. Please, all your own ideas, all the things you drew, the vision for your company, give it to your staff. Write it in a piece of paper, in your drawer, on your wall. It doesn't belong. If you own a business, forget all of those things. Forget what they told you. Write the vision of the website. Your staff can catch it. Mm-mm. Your own. Please write the word of God on the wall. That word will catch a thief. Yes. Your vision can catch a thief. The word will come out. Do you get my point? And tell the man, don't steal here again and hold his hand. He won't know why you caught him. The word will just imprison. The guy will come to steal. When the shawl of you will have gone, then that day, the word will remove your phone from your pocket and put it in your top drawer, and you will go home. Then you go, you start searching, and you are expecting an important phone call by 10 p.m. By 8, you ask your wife, did you take my phone? Your wife said, your phone? Me and you are just seeing for the first time today now. But I called you the other time, you answered by 6. He said, it's true, I've not taken any other calls since that your last call. Your call to me. You must be alert in the office. He said, tomorrow. And I said, no, I can't wait till tomorrow. I'm expecting an important call by 10 p.m. The fellow is calling from maybe China or India. Meanwhile, because of the time zone, they will be in the office by that time. So let's go to the office to go and collect the phone. The word took your phone, kept it there, knowing that the thief is coming at 10:05. You parked somewhere, entered the office. As you see there, you hear crew on the other end. What is that? You see Mr. Ajale Koko, right? And you say, hello. The man say, I'm sorry, sir. Sorry for what? You now find all the money has been missing. All the things they've been taking from your store. The word just caught the thief. Your vision can't catch that thief. I hope you're getting my point. Yes. This is success for us is as we keep the word of God lifted. Next time we'll talk about it again. Listen, there is a word for each thing. There is a word for each season. That is the rod that we keep lifted. That is prayer for us believers. You can wake up one night and say, how come everybody in this house is falling sick? Why is everybody falling sick? It's not Father God in the name of Jesus see sickness. God said, I saw it too. I'm asking you, what are you going to do about it? I like the story I read from Nouvelle-Hayes. Nouvelle-Hayes said one day, Kenneth Hagin came to his house, was his friend. And so he had only one daughter, and she had warts on the back of her hands. Very ugly looking things. And what struck me then was I said, Kenneth Hagin said, told the daughter, I could curse them and they would die. But he did not. Why? This is my understanding now. I'm not your father. I'm not you. You guys should handle that by yourself. He said, later on, the Lord rebuked him that you have been negligent. You don't even know what is going on in your daughter's life. So he took it upon himself that I'm going to kill that thing. So he wake up during the night. The girl is not even there. Just take God's word and start releasing it. In a few days, check the girl's hands, the whole thing disappeared. Are you getting my point? The Lord heard him responsibly. What's wrong with you? Where have you been? You don't know what's going on in your daughter's life. He said, Lord, I'm very sorry. And he took the word of God and began to declare it. Took a few days, the thing cleared away. That's prayer. Prayer is not grown. He said, God, if you don't answer me, I won't eat. That's your problem. Look, listen, people wanted to kill Paul. They said, we will not eat until we kill him. Paul still escaped. Are you getting my point? So don't worry about that thing. All right? You want to fast, is go and ask God a question. Take your Bible, tell Lord, what is the word? What's my bread for this season? And when you find it, now fight. What did I call it?
Fight.
It's war. We'll lift it up. The word thanks. It will plot events for you. It will arrange customers for you. It will open doors for you. Just be persistent with that word. Don't write any plan that you read from John Maxwell. Don't write plans. People will follow, say, this is what they call it? Brian Tracy. All those ones. That's what they said. No. Just for this, for when it comes to God's word, just take it literally. Don't even interpret it. The only thing you can do is to, instead of first, second person, make it first person. Instead of third person, put your eye there. I will, he said, I will cause prosperity. He will cause prosperity to flow towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. It is written, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. It is written, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I will not lack. In the name of Jesus Christ, declare upon your business, you are my seed. This is the seed of the righteous. He will be mighty on the earth, because it is written, mark the righteous man, his seed will be mighty on the earth. Say the same thing 10,000 times, doesn't matter. Do you hear Moses say, okay, this one is cold. Aaron, give me the other rod. Put this one in the fire, make it warm. Give me the other one, make the use of it. The same rod. Let's rise to our feet. Let's close. Let's close. Let's say, Father, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just one prayer point for today. Just one prayer point for today. Just after you give thanks, say, Lord, give me my bread for my morrow. The bread I need. Or if you're in a particular season, what is the bread for today? Give me this day my daily bread. Ask the Lord for it. So that's what I'm asking for. My daily bread. My daily bread. Say, Father, I receive it by faith. Thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. I receive my rod. Put it in my mouth. Touch my lips with that word. Say, in the name of Jesus, touch my lips with that word. Say, in the name of Jesus, touch my lips with that word. Touch my lips with that word. I feel like just lifting up the word of health over everybody. So everybody say after me, say,
in the name of Jesus,
I have been redeemed from the curse of the law.
In the name of Jesus,
my sins are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus,
I have been healed by the power of his blood. Say, my sicknesses,
my infirmities,
they have been nailed to his cross.
By his stripes,
I have been healed.
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 Say, in the name of Jesus,
the Spirit of Christ,
that Spirit of God
that raised him up from the dead,
is in me,
is giving life to my mortal body.
Now declare this rod. Say, in me,
life is working.
In my brain,
life is working.
In my eyes,
life is working.
It has overcome the power of death.
Say this, death is dying.
Life is working.
Death is dying.
Life is working.
Say death is dying.
Diseases are dying.
Life is working.
Life is working.
Say, my sea is being parted.
My sea is being parted.
It may take a whole night.
It may take a whole night.
But the sea will part.
But the sea will part.
And my health.
And my health.
Will walk through it.
Will walk through it.
And break forth like the noonday.
And break forth like the
noonday.
Upon me.
The health of God.
The health of God.
Life of God.
Is God.
Breaking forth.
Is breaking forth.
Life is walking.
My injuries are healed.
Say, my body retains the vitality of youth.
My body retains the vitality of youth.
Say, this age is not the disease.
Age is not the disease.
Say, age is not the disease.
Age is not the disease.
In me,
in me,
life is walking.
Life is walking.
I have the testimony of Caleb.
I have the testimony of Caleb.
At the age of 40.
At the age of 40.
At the age of 85.
At the age of 85.
The same strength.
The same strength.
Say, in me,
in me,
life is walking.
Life is walking.
I'm producing the testimony of Caleb. Say, I don't grow dim in my eyes.
I don't grow dim in my eyes.
I don't go weak in my bones.
I don't become weak in
because
my bones.
Life is walking.
Because life is
walking. In my heart.
In my heart.
Life is walking.
Life is walking.
In my lungs.
In my lungs.
Life is walking.
Life is walking.
In my kidneys.
In my kidneys.
Life is walking.
Life is walking.
Every part of me.
Every part of
life is walking.
Life is walking.
I want to pray a prayer. I rebuke that genetic disease in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I say it's able to save to the uttermost.
Yes.
Beyond that which is called genetic,
yes.
Jesus is able to save to the uttermost.
Amen.
Therefore, I curse that affliction in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I command it to depart from your body.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks.
Amen.
Let us thank him. Just say, Lord, we thank you. 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 Oh, say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Just give him praise. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Give him thanks. So let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil. Because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time.
This is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus.
Please bless somebody on your left and on your right.
Please.